As reminders, be very aware of your tone. The most well-executed skill delivered with poor tone. I don't know, Sandy. If you could, if you were to put a percentage on it, and I realize I'm dropping, you know, dropping this on your head. I didn't prepare you for it. I'm catching you off guard. If you were going to put a percentage to it, about how much a well-executed skill would be negatively affected by poor tone of voice. If you're just going to guess, right? Not something I'm necessarily going to hold you to, but I know you have a great feel for this stuff with the background that you have as a crisis negotiator. What would you say?
Well, to me, tone is the most important thing. So if your tone is wrong, no matter what you're saying, the person is going to take it the way they perceive it. So you've lost complete control if your tone is bad. So I would say it's up there really high, 90%, if not higher. Tone is extremely important.
Yeah, 90%. Wow, that's a pretty big percentage. So you're only 10% effective if the tone of voice doesn't come with it.
That's just a maybe. It could be higher. Tone is important. Tone means everything. Tone is the first thing that someone notices about you. So if your tone is comes across as negative, the rest of your interaction, unless you can fix that tone right away, is going to remain negative. So just keep that in mind.
Yeah, that's a great point. And negative covers, it's such a broad stroke of the brush, right? Because negative could be you come off as arrogant, or you come off as, right? And I think we've all done this at certain times where we deliver things with a tone of voice that says, I think that you're stupid, or I think that, you know, your opinion holds no water. And all of that comes across in our tone and what perceived intention might be from the other side. Something that always blew my mind. I'm sure a lot of you have heard of Derek Gaunt. And I may have mentioned this last time, and this is just a reiteration, but it really blows me away. One of the things he told me early on was when he was in crisis negotiation and he had to choose to put somebody on the phone. And if his choices were somebody that was fully versed in the skills and understood all of the intricacies inside and out of all the skills, very well versed, but their tone of voice was really bad. And then the other choice was somebody that doesn't really know the skills at all and still has a lot to learn. However, this person has a fantastic tone of voice. Like, if he had to choose between those two people, what would he choose? And to my surprise, he said he'd always choose the person with the tone of voice, because if their tone of voice is extremely accurate and on point and executed well, he knew that in a crisis negotiation scenario, they would always come to resolution. It might take a while, but the chances of them coming to resolution were almost, you know, they're up there at 94% close rate. And then the person that had great skills, but their tone was always off, is a really good chance things are going to go bad. And I always thought that was a really interesting perspective. How can you be so good at the skills and then a skill expert doesn't want to use you just simply because of the tone of voice? And I always thought that was amazing. So things to keep in mind.
We have a question that just came up in the chat. It says, yes, how do you evaluate your own tone?
That's a great question. And so a few things, a couple of them will be reiterations from last time. The first part is always assume that you have something to learn when you go into a negotiation. A lot of us get off point because we assume we're going in because we got to educate the other side. We got to lay out the data, facts, justifications. We need them to understand, so we have to explain it to them. And our intention is to go in to teach and inform and educate. And it actually needs to be switched to, we go in knowing that we have things to learn, and that's why we're at the table. And so that's the first part, because that mindset leads to genuine curiosity. If we stay in a mindset of genuinely curious, it'll come across in our tone. You can hear the question mark at the end. And so that's one piece of it. Another piece of it is we all have our triggers in the moment. We all know when we feel ourselves getting cranked up, could be for any number of reasons. When you feel that coming on, that should be a trigger for yourself internally that you just need to go ahead and switch into the late night FM DJ voice. When you feel that bubbling up inside of you, just focus on slowing down your cadence. And that'll help you keep in control, that in itself. And then the third part, we're kind of three and four combined, I guess. First of all, is awareness, right? The first part to solving any problem is being aware of the problem. And then another piece of this is we as human beings, since we're emotional creatures, we think emotionally, we make decisions emotionally. We also have a tendency to carry emotional baggage. And we carry emotional baggage from one conversation to another. And once we realize that's what we're doing, right, the awareness, we can help stop it. And so quick example of that is, right before I got on this phone call, I got a personal call on my cell phone about 5 minutes before we started that was very intense. And intense because there's some things that I didn't follow up on in regards to this rental that I have. And the guy who runs the rental place is really likes me and has been bending over backwards to cut me breaks. And now he's getting browbeaten by his superiors because I haven't dotted all the I's and crossed all the T's. And he's allowed me to not have to do so because he likes me and we're getting along well. And so he calls me up clearly under a lot of pressure. And so trying to shake myself of having that weighing on my mind while I'm working on this call with you all was something that I had to drop that emotional baggage, the intensity, and I had to do it in about 2 minutes before I got on the phone with you. We do that to ourselves. We'll have a conversation with our boss, with our spouse, with another employee, or a previous conversation with the counterpart we're going to be faced with. And we carry emotional baggage into that conversation from a previous interaction. That stuff will hurt our tone of voice. Another example, recently, Chris and I were teaching a class. I'm a new father. Thanks for those, right? I hear the congratulations mentally already on the other side. Appreciate it. But my point is, just got done dealing with the wife and the baby, very aggravated, feeling very intense. Came on the teaching call with Chris for one of our corporate clients, and I'm naturally assertive. I naturally sound aggressive, and because that emotional baggage was on me, I'm upset with the argument I have with my wife. I'm upset that the baby's not sleeping and is crying, and I come on, and I'm intense, and I'm on the call, and I'm talking to people like this. You need to do that. Make sure that you do these things, and Chris actually sends me a text message and says, I know you're not doing it on purpose. You sound like you're screaming at the group. And that was me carrying my own emotional baggage in and not being aware of it. And with the greatest intentions of helping people reach the next level and become the greatest negotiators they could be, I sounded like a complete jerk that was browbeating them because I was carrying something that had nothing to do with them into the conversation. And so those are really kind of the four aspects of it. But the most important is if we stay curious, it's hard to be curious and angry at the same time. And then, you know, assuming we have something to learn, we'll lead that way. And when we hit our triggers, downshift, hard downshift into late night FM DJ voice will keep us in line. And it also calm the other side down. It's hard to yell at a voice that's very calm, steadfast, and unshaken.